This podcast is brought to you in part by The Pop Insider. The Pop Insider has all the latest in news, merch reviews, and other geeky goodness. Whether you're a wizard, a Sith Lord, or a superhero, fuel your fandom at thepopinsider.com.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to Geek Watch 1. And I don't know where I'm going to go from that. I drew a blank. That's weird. How you guys doing?
Good.
Cool.
Changing weather at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's actually why Vicky's not here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's driving her nuts.
Yeah. So. The pressure does to a lot of people this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how was you guys' week? What'd you guys been up to?
Oh, well, we took advantage of Prime Day, and I we're now in the chubby. I thought it would sit weird in my ear, but no. Actually, I these sit better than a really nice pair that I had bought of the wired ones. These are really good.
Yeah, it's one of those that once you try the wireless, you're like, why was I not always using this?
Right. And
but they definitely had some good deals on a bunch of different brands depending what you wanted, so mm-hmm. We kind of went for the more inexpensive ones anyway, but then they were $8 or $10 off as it was, mm-hmm. So you know, we figured we could give them a go, and then if they're not great we can always upgrade later or whatever.
Yeah.
But these turned out well,
right?
But we didn't need any other Amazon stuff really, because most of the stuff they put on sale that's a really good deal is their own stuff. Like,
yeah,
they do the Echoes and all that kind of stuff. We already have, what, 4 Echoes? So we're,
four, yeah.
We're good with that.
See, I have my tablet that I got a couple of months ago has Alexa built in. It comes with the dock that actually works with Echo to turn it into an Echo Show. And I still don't use Alexa. It's weird.
Well, it's funny. Like, mostly we just use it for music. We both have Sirius XM in our cars, and you can use it through the Echo. So that's mostly what we use it for, is playing music, whether we're in, you know, the downstairs, or now we have one, we added it to the bathroom once that got remodeled.
Yeah.
So, you know, we mostly use it for, and we have Amazon Music as well, so we can get, like, you know, specific artists and new stuff, because, I mean, a few bucks a month, we haven't bought an album in ages, I think, because of that. Like,
yeah,
you can get music right away anyway, so mostly we use it essentially as a radio.
Right. Now, I will say, if you're anybody who likes Soma FM, like, because one of my favorite stations on that is Secret Agent, you can get all the Soma channels on there. And actually, for people in the Northeast Ohio area, or I guess actually I think it's a digital channel now too, 91.3 The Summit, because sometimes I'll listen to that. You can play that, and actually it plays it through Soma FM as well.
Okay. Well, I know.
What's the one that Ron likes, the station that plays the old
70s? WONE.
WONE, that,
yeah,
comes through as well.
That's what I listen, yeah, to. Yeah, WONE, just about any smart speaker will run WONE now. That's yeah, Akron's classic rock station.
Yeah.
But there are some cool things other than radio. Last night I discovered that she can read minds.
Okay.
I don't know what. I think I was hearing Kylan and some friends do, like, a Saturday watch party thing on Zoom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was hearing him say something about thinking about something, and it showed up in an ad.
Yeah.
Or something. So I asked her if she can read minds. And she said, would you like me to open the whatever it was app? And I was like, okay, yes. And she did. And she said, think of a character. And she said, are you ready? And I said, yes. And she started asking questions to narrow down what my character was, whether it was real life, like a real person kind of character,
mm-hmm,
or an animated character. And she'd ask questions about whether they wore a mask, whether they had animal ears, whether it was an anime, whether it was this, that, or the other. She guessed both times.
Wow.
The first time I chose Mickey Mouse, and the second time I chose Deadpool. And her answer was, I believe your character is Deadpool. Like, she's giving me the full answer. And I was like, okay, that's just freaky, and I'm not playing anymore.
They had a fortune teller teach her how to do that.
I think so.
One of the old school carnival fortune tellers that can get vague enough and to narrow you down.
And I mean, the funny thing was, like, she would ask me a question, and I'd answer it, and I guess it didn't fit whatever algorithm for a certain character she was going for, and she'd go, and then she'd ask another question. It was just kind of freaky.
Well, I...
So think of some obscure characters, and we'll test it out.
Right. I mean, I got one, because there's the most obvious one.
Don't say it, because she's listening in
all the time. I'm not going to say it, but I'll test her to see if she will do it.
Okay,
so.
You got
to come up with something like Danger Mouse or something like that, that it's not going to be a normal that general people are going to pop with.
But I got one. I got one.
I mean, she went from asking me on the first one if the character has animal ears to asking if the character has appeared in something created by Walt Disney Company. And I'm damn it!
That narrows a lot of stuff down.
I know, right?
Well, also, you got to think, Alexa has access to your Amazon account, so it makes it a lot easier. If you've never ordered anything with that character on it, it makes it harder for them to figure it out.
That is true.
Because most people, if you ask, think of a character in general, it's going to be something you like already. And between Amazon and Google, they know what you like.
That is a possibility. That's very true.
Now, I will say, what happened to me yesterday was there was this person that had crossed my mind, and I didn't say their name. I didn't say anything at all. I was just thinking, maybe once we go back to work, because there's been a lot of changes where I work, like who's still there, who's gone, who's it with department. I didn't say anything. It was just a personal thought. I'm flipping through, and this person comes up as someone you may know. And I'm just like, I didn't. I get it if I say something like,
right.
That
was kind of random.
That's kind of random.
Yeah. They do read minds at this point. They
really do. So I was like, nope, not going to do it. Nope. Mm-mm. So.
We see that you guys were up to something extra geeky this weekend.
Yeah, it was a random thing out of nowhere. Because Vicky and I had this weekend off anyway because we wanted to do a couple other things, but we decided to change our plans at the last minute. Like Monday, we decided to do this. And we drove down to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Now, anybody who doesn't know may have heard of that at some point, that's the original home of the Mothman. And the world's only Mothman Museum. So the cool thing, what it is our buddy Seth Breedlove, which we've had on the show a couple times with Small Town Monsters movies, actually has a new Mothman Legacy movie that releases this week on Blu-ray and DVD. So he was actually going to the Mothman Museum with Zach, his director of photography, and his wife, who is one of the producers also, to basically do an on-sale and pre-release for the DVDs and movies and all the rest of the Small Town Monsters production stuff. So, and we knew, for us, anybody who doesn't know the area, Akron, where we're at, Akron, Ohio, Northeast Ohio, is only like 3 hours from Point Pleasant. So Vicky and I decided, you know what? We're going to take the dog and go for a ride. Because we wanted to go down anyway. Vicky loves cryptids and all the strange and unusual stuff, even more than I do. So, and then we found a whole lot of history there also, not just the Mothman and cryptid stuff. I didn't realize there was a huge Revolutionary War era battle between the Virginians and the white men and the local Indians in 1774. And it happened right there in Point Pleasant. So it's like they had a Revolutionary War fort that was built there for people. Unfortunately, it was closed because of everything going on. So, but they have people there all the time running, doing things. They also had, obviously, all the memorials for the battles and all that stuff. And it's the confluence or where two rivers actually come together. It's the Ohio River and the Kanawha River out of West Virginia. And that's where this battle happens, right on the point of the two rivers coming together. So they had a big old memorial and park at the corner, basically. And it's weird because land actually makes a distinct corner there.
Oh.
Where the two rivers come together. And that's where this park was at. They had the oldest building in town was there, and it was a two-story, looked like a house almost, but obviously it was the oldest building in town. It was the first building built, and it was built to be a tavern.
Of course.
So the first thing, settlers move in, the first thing they build was a bar.
Right.
And then also, the one, what was the name of the lady that came across? There was someone who was huge in the battle and stuff, and she was credited with bringing the first copper still to the area. So once again, she brought the first geese and the first copper still. So once again, the first person to bring beer or alcohol. Yeah. And what?
Way to go, Virginia.
Oh, Ann Bailey was her name.
Mad Ann. Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, they called her Mad Ann. That's what it was. So, the history of this place was awesome. I mean, all the stories of the Mothman is cool, too. But the history from way before that is even... And obviously, some people with looking at Mothman is... a lot of people accredit it to being more paranormal than a cryptid. Some people see it more alien than cryptid. So there's all kinds of alien stories. But all of the battle stories and the war that happened right here give a lot of people the feeling of why the Mothman stuff happened. If you're or putting it on to being a paranormal type of creature, then a place where there was a giant American and Indian battle would actually make sense also.
Right.
So, because a lot of people look at the Mothman as actually being, because I guess West Virginia was settled by a lot of Irish and Scottish. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, in Celtic beliefs, an owl or like a banshee, a lot of times Mothman is seen as a type of banshee or something, is a harbinger of death. And the idea of this Mothman originally, the Mothman was seen in multiple places in the weeks before. There was a bridge across the river called the Silver Bridge, and it collapsed in 1967, wasn't it? I believe it was 67, and the Mothman was originally seen with the weeks leading up to it.
Right.
So people are saying that maybe there was a harbinger of doom saying, hey, this is about to happen.
Yeah.
So... And there's some great movies and stuff out there. Obviously, Richard Gere did a movie, The Mothman Prophecies, that was actually that told partially, kind of told the story of this. I need to watch it at some point still, but it was a blast going down there. I mean, like I said, it was just a random thing, and it was funny because you guys would understand this. We took Route 77 South to Marietta, hang a right, and drive to Point Pleasant.
Right.
And just follow the river. Ohio Route 7 follows the river going south from there. So you basically go to Marietta, hang a right, and follow the river. It was not hard to find. But it was a blast. We got to say hi to Seth and everybody. We got pictures with the Mothman statue. Anybody who finds Vicky's Facebook, she's got pictures all over there about this weekend. So, like I said, I want to go down there during the summer or when they're actually doing some events and stuff. We're talking about, this year they didn't do it. They have a Mothman festival down there that brings like something like 70 or 80,000 people to town. And it's a town of 4,000 people.
Right.
So we're thinking about going down and setting up down there anyway. I would like to. They do a Mothman 5K every year during the festival in September. I want to take the Bigfoot suit down and run the 5K in the Bigfoot suit. 5K is not that far. 2.5 miles is not bad.
You're still going to have to do some extra training for that because it's still pretty warm in September.
Yeah.
So putting that suit on and even walking 5K is going to be a bit much.
Well, I've been working out. I'll be there. I'll be ready.
Get one of those cooler vests.
That's right.
Caused...
But I just think that'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens for that for next year. But you know, like I said, we had a blast. I mean, it didn't take that long to get there.
That would have been a nice drive too, because everything's changing color slowly.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I'm not noticing it around here for some reason, but driving down, you're basically driving through the rolling hills and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just depends who's gotten the cold snap. We haven't, only the past few days have we gotten the real cold snap, and that's what really starts turning the leaves.
Yeah.
So I think this week where Akron's going to go.
Probably. So, and my garden has still got some stuff coming off. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. Hopefully, as long as we get just a quick overnight, it should be okay. We're still pulling tomatoes. Our Brussels sprouts and stuff didn't actually come up big enough yet. I can see the sprouts are there, but we're not going to end up with big enough to get. So we got Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower that are all sitting there that none of them are going to get big enough. I think what it is, when I made the garden this year, I didn't make the boxes deep enough. So next year I'm going to build different boxes.
Okay.
Because we did it all above ground.
Right.
So we have to have a mobile garden because our backyard has very little sunlight.
Yeah, So you're moving them around a lot.
That's right. Try to chase the sun.
I can understand that.
So, but yeah, that's what we did this week. So, other than that, we do have some friends out there. We mentioned how we got Eddie's Cheesesteaks last week. Vicky saw that they actually were set up over at They said they had it set up in downtown, where downtown Akron was actually doing a ribbon cutting ceremony for the new Main Street.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So they were down there, and I guess Eddie himself, who he sold the trailer and the business, the mobile business, off to Red Beer from Red Beer's Barbecue.
Oh,
right. So they're running the truck right now. But Eddie's actually said has got a shop, an actual brick and mortar store in downtown Akron, that he's getting ready to open. So that he was pushing about that, and how they're within a couple of weeks of opening that.
Oh, nice!
It's right across the street from Cascade Plaza, I guess.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we're gonna have to go check that out and say hi to him when we get it. But
all the people seem to know each other.
Oh yeah,
like, it's that kind of city where they just all know each other and sell things to each other.
Right? I've noticed, like, Eddie and Redbeard and Charlie and all those guys, they really know each other because of us.
That's true.
They all met because of what we of Con on the Cob and actually being our people for that.
Yeah, through us and Con on the Cob and Odd Mall. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. We bring people together.
Do bring people together.
So, but mentioning Charlie and all that, remember, we do have our buddy Charlie Murphy with Stray Dog in the Akron Pickle and Cafe 388 in downtown Akron. It's still out there for all of your hot dog and sandwich needs, and especially everybody's got loves Charlie's Pickle. You got to try the Akron Pickle. It is amazing.
Right. Get that pickle in your mouth.
That's right. Well, check him out. He's either Stray Dog Akron, the Akron Pickle, or Cafe 388 online. Search anywhere for those, and you will find Mr. Charlie Murphy. So
he still makes deliveries, too. So yeah. if you're in the general area and you want something good for lunch, fresh made, hot, arrive right at your door.
That's right. You get the big blue ambulance will show up.
That's right.
So also, sauces, if you like to barbecue, if you're having a tailgate party and you need some mustard, get a hold of Charlie. He can ship anywhere in the country. He may even go international. I can't guarantee that, but I know he can go anywhere in the country with all of his sauces. They're all homemade, his own personal recipe. So check all that out. And after that, Miss Dawn, what's been happening in the news? We've been out of town a couple days.
Actually, the past day or two, not much has happened, but there were a few things earlier this week. For those who are into fantasy movies and perhaps into the gaming world, the first full official trailer for the movie Monster Hunter came out. It stars Mila Jovovich and Tony Yaa, and it adapts the popular Capcom video game. Unfortunately, from what I read, though, based on people who know the game and who watched the trailer, so far the movie doesn't seem to have much to do with the game.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's kind of like, look, it's Resident Evil with different monsters. Like, that's what I heard people say.
Yeah.
But hey, if you like that kind of thing, there's nothing wrong with that. The trailer specifically shows off Captain Artemis, played by Jovovich, and her team of soldiers being transported to this monster-filled world. And it seems to show that, like, the gateway to Earth that they came through needs to be closed to prevent monsters from getting through. And they need to fight these monsters. And they do use like some classic weaponry from the game. Everyone's used to these oversized weapons they've seen in the game. Even if you don't know much about the game, you may have seen cosplayers in costume with these characters at various cons over the years. There's these like massive weird looking swords and stuff. And, So they're taking on all these monsters to try and prevent them to getting through the portal and protecting it and probably trying to get home eventually, and probably someone won't get home and people are going to die, and that's how it works.
sounds like a fun movie, but if you're it may be one of those that's a really good movie if you're not a fan of the game to start with.
Yeah, or exactly. One of those that, if you don't know anything about the game, this looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Or even just one of those that if they had given it a different name, it would get a better reception.
Right. And, I mean, it seems like the sort of thing maybe you'd want to see on the big screen because, you know, monsters. But it's also one of those ones that likely won't do well in theaters, except for the fact that they're trying to release it this year and nothing else is coming out. So,
exactly.
It could work.
I think as of right now, for everything's been bumped out except I think Wonder Woman is still supposed to be in December.
Yeah, they're still claiming that's going to happen.
So everything else is still bumped out to 2021 already.
Monster Hunter is supposed to open on December 30th. The other interesting thing about this is the original release date was April of next year. So they've actually bumped it forward.
Huh.
Probably because no other movies are coming out.
There you go.
Well, the other one that's interesting is, like, you're thinking, it's like all the stuff's been bumped out. The Oscars this year is going to be really interesting.
The Oscars is going to be almost non-existent.
Yeah, like the movie award shows, what's going to actually be on the movie award show? I mean, Tenet's going to win a bunch of stuff because there's nothing to go against it.
Exactly. That's just it. There's going to be a bunch of really bad movies, like not great quality acting and such that are going to be nominated because there was nothing. And they'll have to go ahead and perhaps change their rules and give more credence to streaming services.
That's true.
Because they haven't wanted to do that.
That's true.
Or you never know. The Academy may look at what's out there right now and the choices that are there. And instead of just giving the awards because the movies are there, skipping a year on it. It'd be the first time ever. But the Academy may decide, you know what?
There's too much money in it. They're not skipping.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because actually, there's a lot of you think lobbying is big in Hollywood or in Washington?
Yeah,
the same thing happens for the award shows.
Exactly. And the thing is, it depends on their rules as to being released in theaters. Because if you think about it, Mulan was on Disney Plus, but it was released in theaters overseas.
Yeah.
Right? There's other movies that have been on streaming that have been released overseas because those streaming services aren't there.
Right.
So technically, there are some in theaters. Depends. Well, with the theaters.
Yeah, there's also a lot of movies that go straight to streaming, but they've had a two-week, extremely limited theatrical run to make them eligible for the awards.
Just to get them in there, yeah.
That's true.
They'll open in, like, maybe 100 or 200 theaters across the country for 2 weeks, and that still makes them eligible for awards.
Because there was, what was last, that movie, The Irishman.
Yeah.
Technically, that was a Netflix movie last year, and they released it for just a week or two in theaters just to get it nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of directors got ticked off because it was a Netflix movie.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But still allowed to do it.
They need to, yeah, the award, the Oscars still run on very old rules, and the problem is they still have a lot of old people enforcing those rules.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, you got to think, these are industry people. You know, you get the entire range of the industry, and a lot of the ones in the background are, you know, the older, crotchety ones who want things to stay the way they are.
Kylan, you're too natural at that.
So wait till he gets older. So yeah, it will. No, but it's true. It will be interesting to see what happens. In other news, we found out that Star Trek Discovery has been renewed for season 4 on CBS All Access, and production of that fourth season begins in November already.
Nice.
The announcement came just as season 3 premiered, for those who watch it, you know this obviously. And the current Star Trek creative team also basically said that, the new Star Trek universe that they're dealing with has been planned through 2027.
Nice.
They're planning to continue shows like Discovery, Picard, and even the animated Lower Decks, and expanding into new series like Discovery spinoff Strange New Worlds and Section 31, and the kids series Prodigy that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the nice thing is, with them taking Discovery and they've kicked it out like 700 or 800 years in the future now, from where they were, now we're finally exploring new stuff that does not have to have anything to do with what we've done before.
Right.
I think
that
was part of the problem with Discovery when they first did it, was putting it in front of the original Star Trek, just even a couple of years, you're stuck trying to make it look and feel like it fits with the original.
Right.
You kick it out 900 years in the future, and it doesn't matter what you do because we've never seen it.
Exactly. You can create all kinds of new lore. And the other thing they talked about was really wanting to bring together the TV and movie universes, which, I mean, is not strange for Star Trek, because, I mean, they had Kirk in one of the movies that had Picard in it.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's not like they haven't experimented with that before. So.
Well,
and Spock showing too.
Yeah.
The original run of Star Trek, the way it worked, I don't, books was a different story, but all movies and TV was all originally part of the same canon. Like, Star Trek The Motion Picture takes place 10, 12 years, 15 years after the original series in the same universe. Right. And all the six, the original six Star Trek movies were all continuations of that. Next Generation is out from that, and then the Generations movie was a bridge between the two series.
I mean, that was kind of the point of them calling it Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Exactly.
You know, it was continuing.
Even the animated series is considered canon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The first time they changed it was with J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
Right.
With
Abrams and with the new shows, they're kind of both rebooting and continuing because they're giving us the new stories. But I mean, Picard, obviously, you're keeping the Next Generation characters and storyline. Mm-hmm.
Well, Star Trek fans for years have realized there's multiple universes. That's the way it works. Remember the Mirror Universe? Well, even J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movie is in the same multiverse as the rest because it ties in to the original series.
Right.
At the very beginning, you see there's actually a jump in the timeline that shifts. So all of a sudden, you have a new universe, but it's still connected to the original.
Right.
And I mean, they've known that going in. Like, all the creative teams of Star Trek from the beginning have kind of planned it along the way. Obviously, at the very beginning, they didn't realize how big it was going to get.
Right.
But as it was going, they realized they could work all these things out and, you know, keep the same sort of storylines, the same species of characters, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. That would connect a lot of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, knowing the character types and all that. So they have kind of known all along, and they don't have to do like other franchises where they're retconning things. And I mean, there's been a few things they've changed along the way, obviously, but mostly they've been pretty stable in how they have things flow along.
Yeah,
I think with Discovery, the one thing they probably should have done that would have made things a little easier was because they're still trying to say Discovery was part of the original Star Trek universe, the same one we knew as Kirk and Spock from the 60s. If they had shifted that and actually said that's part of the J.J. Abrams timeline, it would have fit better.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, Starfleet isn't the same. It doesn't have the same, it officially has the same rules and stuff, but even like the Picard series, that's not the Starfleet we've known. It's a totally different animal. This is not the same, they're trying to say it's the same universe, but it's not. There's too many differences and too many things the way that doesn't fit with the ideals of what Starfleet is.
I think that's more a matter of evolution, though.
Yeah,
the group's not—it's not going to stay the same all the time.
I mean, I'm currently rewatching Next Generation, and I'll say, like, there's some stuff that Starfleet does in Next Generation that you're like, I don't know if you guys want to do that, and it actually kind of fits with what Starfleet has become in Picard.
Yeah.
And some stuff you see down the road. Like, a lot of people take issue with Section 31 even being part of Starfleet. Like, you know, but it's always been there.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, the truth is, no matter how good the good guys are, you know, you got to have a dirty tricks team.
Well,
you kind of have to. So
it's kind of, I think it's part of looking at the universe the way we actually talked about this on Wiki Radio this week also, but Star Wars, people that have major problems with stuff changing don't realize, a lot of times don't realize, you're looking at it through the lens of one family story, and you're maybe dealing with 100 different star systems that are affected by this in a galaxy of hundreds of thousands of worlds.
Right.
This is the same thing with Star Trek. Everything you've ever seen in Star Trek, series, movies, books, all of it, take place in a handful of worlds in an entirely huge galaxy. Mm-hmm. So all this other stuff could also be going on. It's just not been in the stories we're dealing with.
And the thing with Star Trek is it's always been a little more reality-based because it's science-based.
Yeah. Right.
So as things change in science, as they make new discoveries, as they, I don't know, discover new planets or species and stuff, things have to change with their rules.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they have to adapt to things. So right. I think it keeps it more realistic to actually, like, things are going to change because they have to change.
Right.
Yeah.
We did get another renewal announcement Interestingly, for one that we haven't even seen the most recent season for yet, Lock and Key has been renewed for a third season.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we've only seen the first, but production on season two started about a month ago, and we're supposed to be seeing it next year. So that's a show that's got a lot of effects and stuff, so expect it, you know, not at the beginning of the year, but...
probably summer.
It's probably summer. I mean, it was... When we first saw it, wasn't it like May or something it first came out, I think?
Something like that. It wasn't
early on in the year.
Right.
Well, also, you got to think, it's if they're going to build an entire house for this movie or for this show, they want to get the most they can out of it.
Well, yeah, and announcing there's a season three when they've barely started shooting season two means a lot for the storyline. As we've talked about before, knowing you have another season means being able to play with things at the end of your current season. Mm-hmm. So that allows them to do that. It allows them to keep using the house. They could go right from season two to season three.
Right.
The other issue, if you think about it, if they stay with the same family, especially the youngest, he's going to age.
Yeah.
Right.
So well, that's, you want to get stuff done.
That's like thinking about shows like Stranger Things. You're like, they better get the next seasons up and running or else the kids are not going to be kids.
Right. Well, at least Stranger Things takes you along the way, though. Like, you know they're going up in grades. They're, you know, high school. You know that along the way. Whereas, like, Lock and Key is, I mean, like, if you follow the comics and stuff, there's not a lot of time involved in the stories.
No.
But, I mean, there's plenty of ways, considering the type of story it is, there's plenty of ways to work around that and... You know, skip years or whatever. That's, you can have a time jump. That's not a big deal.
No. You just put a couple extra million in there and de-age all the kids.
That's right. Like, the older ones are never much of a problem because once you're a certain age as a teenager, it's not going to change too much.
No.
You know, if you're in your older teens, it's not going to change too much, and you know they can use a little bit of makeup and it's not too bad. But the younger one is the big problem.
When you hire a kid at between 8 and 10 years old and expect to film for 5 years, that kid's not going to look anything like he did when he gets 15.
You better have proper, you know, timelines going on in your show to explain.
Right.
One of the most interesting stories from this week, actually, is news of a Static Shock movie.
I saw that last night.
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan, who we all know as from Black Panther and the Fantastic Flop. And he's set to produce a Static Shock movie alongside longtime writer Reginald Hudlin. It's being suggested that this film could be the center of a new cinematic universe produced by Jordan and his Outlier Society production company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Static Shock is the most famous of them, but Milestone had a full line of fully fleshed out characters.
Right.
And Milestone is, a few years ago, they came back.
Yeah, well, actually, they've slowly been bringing them back here and there in DC, but in February, they're launching a brand new line of actual Milestone comics, a new imprint for DC.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they're all owned by DC now. He started at Milestone.
With all the original creators and editors.
Oh. And the writer, Reginald Hudlin, he's going to be at the center of the Static Shock comic series set for release in February. And he's also writing a separate Static-involved graphic novel, as well as a series featuring fellow Milestone character Icon and Rocket.
Nice. I was going to say, imagine seeing an Icon or a Hardware series.
Oh, man. I kept hoping that we would see Static in Black Lightning because I just thought, you know, it would fit.
I think it's too close.
But
unless they do it as a crossover from something else.
Well, see, the thing is, you kind of got Geo-Force. And I was like, well, Geo-Force is okay, but Static's better. But, you know, because I think
it might work better just to drop an Easter egg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not have a character come in who's got a lot of similar stuff.
Right.
But he's not part of the family.
Right.
It'd actually almost be cool just to see, what is it, Dakota City's where he's from, I think?
Yeah.
So imagine, just a name drop of Dakota City.
Right.
Right.
So that we know it exists out there. Kind of like they've done with all the other Arrowverse shows, mentioning Star City and Opal City and all these other... We're not Star City as much because we've been there. But we got all kinds of drops for Gotham and all these other places that we've never seen.
Coast City was mentioned.
Yeah. There's obviously no dates yet on anything because it was only just announced. But keep an eye on that for sure. My last big story of the week is about a Disney reorganization. They basically reorganized their entertainment and media business. Not surprisingly, when you consider the past year and everything going on and them having to release things on streaming that were supposed to be in theaters and all this other stuff. So basically, Disney intends to combine all of its entertainment businesses into a singular organization. This is just Disney businesses. This is not specifically the Marvel stuff and the Lucasfilm stuff. That's not that.
Okay.
Just the Disney stuff. Instead of acting as standalone businesses as they have, the movie studios, sports content providers, entertainment group, and direct-to-consumer products, all the streamers, now reside under one umbrella. The Disney chief, Bob Chapek, announced Disney Publishing and Consumer Products head Kareem Daniel has been promoted to oversee the entire new media and entertainment group. Ultimately, all distribution, sales, and advertising of film and domestic television will fall under his purview and have to be approved by him.
So does this include like ABC?
Yeah, it does. It includes all of their entertainment group and everything. So ABC's always been under Disney's entertainment group.
Yeah.
So basically, no changes have been made to the leadership of those various areas.
Yeah.
They just now have a big umbrella. So Horn and Bergman still oversee company studios. Rebecca Campbell continues direct-to-consumer products. Peter Rice is general entertainment group, which includes both television studios and channels. So that's where ABC would fall, as well as ESPN and all those. One of the, is it HGTV that they own? They own one of those ones too.
I think. There must be HGTV.
I think it's HGTV.
Of,
the Property Brothers went to Disney recently and they did a Marvel superhero suit.
Right.
But anyway, so even though Kareem Daniel will serve as head of this entire group, everyone is still going to be reporting, obviously, to the Disney chief, Chapek. But it's a bit of a shakeup. I mean, they just want to have a little more control and make sure everything is coordinated, basically, so that people aren't doing their own thing, which Disney's always been good at. They've been good at making sure everyone's coordinated on things. So,
well, that would actually make sense that so like Lucasfilm and Marvel would be separate because they are totally separate universes with this. All the other ones kind of tie together.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. It's all basically the whole media realm of things. And because, I mean, they still have a separate entity for the parks.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this is just the media portion with what you see on TV pretty much. And the products based on that and streaming and stuff.
And now, is this the news I heard that, is this part of the story that I saw the headlines for that Disney is changing everything to go more closer to streaming?
They are. It's kind of part of it that they're trying to refocus because of a lot of it is response to things being on streaming and people really not necessarily caring as much that they're not in theaters.
Mm.
I don't like that idea.
There's been some of them have been calling for Black Widow to show up on streaming, and I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that would be the start of something I don't think they really want to start.
I mean,
part of the whole point, all Marvel movies have always been in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, if you look at it, Mulan did not do as well as they hoped with their premium portion of Disney Plus, even if they had a bit of theater release. So I don't think they'd make out of it what they would hope after they've spent so much money on some of these movies.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, I think people will say that they like the idea of like, and they'll call for something like Black Widow to be released so they can watch it at home. But what they ask for and what they actually do if they get it are two different things.
Right.
You know, because people say, because what happens is, like, with Mulan, oh, yeah, that'd be great.
And they're like, and then the attitude is, oh, I can watch it whenever.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, you kind of got that time issue when it's in the theater.
Yeah. You know? It also makes it an event when it's in the theater.
I think it's sort of like when people, Kindle came out and everything, and people started talking about it was the end of the physical book.
Right.
That didn't happen. I think people are going to like that. People are in love with streaming right now. It's all sexy or whatever. But what's going to happen is eventually people are going to be sick of sitting in their houses. They are going to miss going to the theater and watching a movie.
Right.
I already do. I miss the theatrical experience.
And the thing is, right now, we're forced to not go.
Right.
It's not like the option is there and we're choosing streaming.
Right.
People aren't choosing streaming because they have other options to choose from and that's the best for them.
Right.
They're choosing it because there's no other choice.
Right.
Like right now, I mean, unless you're really into seeing Tenet or some of the, certain actors in movies, there's nothing in the theater.
Right.
I mean, really.
Well, New Mutants is still out there.
Well, that's right.
And actually, no, nostalgia is everywhere because every theater is running old classics.
Right. And right now, I mean, you can see Beetlejuice, you can see Ghostbusters, all these movies for Halloween that they're releasing,
mm-hmm.
Which is great because so many people haven't actually seen them on the big screen to begin with.
Right.
So that's cool.
And you never know. In a couple of weeks, you may be able to see Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, we're looking into things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people don't have a choice right now.
Right.
So what happens when you actually give them that choice again? And you've suddenly decided to put things on streaming instead of going to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get people complaining in the opposite direction. It's not the fact that, oh, movie theaters aren't open and I'm disappointed, but give it to me on streaming and I'll be fine. It's more a matter of, but I want to see this on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I'd be disappointed to watch a Marvel movie on the small screen for the first time.
Yeah, I want that larger than life experience.
Right.
You know, I don't get it. And I really believe that what we, you know, the people who are calling for this are calling for it because they want to see it when they want to see it. But the truth is, if you make it available for streaming, what's going to happen is they're going to like the idea of it, but the attitude will be, oh, I can watch it whenever. And then it's...
Well, and really, if you look at the whole Mulan thing...
Mm-hmm.
They've already said it will be released to all subscribers eventually.
I think that was part of their mistake.
Yeah, and now people are like, well, I don't have to pay the $30 then.
Right.
Like, it's not – Mulan is not the kind of movie that you have to see right away.
Right.
I mean, if you want to and it's in theaters and that's great because it is big and epic and I haven't seen it, but it looks that way.
We will be doing a Mulan review when it comes out for free.
Exactly. We'll eventually do one at Christmas. But that's the thing. Like you said, it was kind of a mistake for them to say, oh yeah, it's going to be exclusive for a couple of months for $30. But then all the subscribers are going to get it. Because then everyone's going, well, it's not that important a movie to me. I'll just wait.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas you take something like a Marvel movie, and if they've got one coming out, and then they've got a TV show coming out, and then they've got another movie coming out, we know Marvel connects everything, so
everything.
You kind of have to watch it.
Yeah. Well, the other one being also with Disney, with that $30 for Mulan, you don't own the movie for $30. You rented it for the weekend.
Right.
Right.
For me, if I'm going to spend $30 on a movie, I'm getting the Blu-ray and a digital copy that I own.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, some people have no problem renting movies on streaming services, mm-hmm. which I honestly don't understand. But
I could see if it was something huge.
Some people pay for on-demand stuff. Okay, fine. You do your thing. But quite honestly, I don't know that there's been anything that's that important to me that I have to pay to see it right away.
Yeah.
And then I can't just wait for it. And like you said, by the time all of this is said and done, you're not owning it.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know if paying the premium on Disney Plus, if you can download it or not, because you can download all Disney Plus stuff.
Right.
and watch it whenever. I don't know if it would actually have an internal thing that would make it expire and you couldn't watch it anymore.
A lot of times they do, but I compare it to looking at Bill and Ted came out at the same time. I mean, maybe not the same week, but for that $30 that I could pay for Mulan plus my Disney Plus membership, I bought all three Bill and Ted's on digital.
Right.
Right.
It was a three-pack for like $27.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting idea. I think $30 was too much. I think they were hoping, because it works out cheaper for families than going to the movies, then people would go for it. But I don't think that that worked in their favor much at all. And I really don't think they should. I mean, I can see them focusing on streaming in the sense of creating new TV shows. And instead of putting them on the Disney Channel, they go to Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Or same time, Disney Plus and Disney Channel at the same time. Because there are people who have one but not the other.
That's true. Right. Or doing more in terms of made for streaming movies.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Do it directly to streaming, made for streaming.
Right.
Not things that are made for big screen and shrink them into streaming.
Right.
Like that's, I mean, obviously, if you're going to focus on streaming, you don't want to spend $100 million on a movie.
No.
So,
no.
You know, you're going to look at cheaper movies and stuff like that, and that's going to affect quality.
Right.
If they want to do these bigger movies, but they're going to be streaming.
Right.
Well, really, the only quality that suffers when you lower the budget is the effects.
Yeah.
And the production value. Because when it comes to the acting, the story, all that stuff, you can make a movie for $1 million and make a movie for $100 million with the same script. The only difference is how it looks.
Right.
If you have a good story, it's going to be a good movie no matter how much money they put in it.
Right.
Well, and the thing is, it might be a good movie with a good story, but if it's the type of movie that needs a lot of effects, it's not going to be that good a movie, regardless of how good the story is.
Okay, think about this. Imagine Captain America, First Avenger.
Made for TV.
Made for TV. So basically...
Like the original.
Like the original. Much respect to Red Brand.
No. The original two. They made two of those.
Original two.
Cap and his motorcycle.
Yeah, so much respect to Red Brown because I watched the hell out of those movies.
Oh, me too.
But imagine Captain America First Avenger with...
Done with that budget.
With Red Brown, those type of effects. No.
You know, it's
no matter how good the story is...
For the type of movie it is, it needs effects. Yes, you need a budget.
Right.
And actually, with the TV effects that are coming now, you could get the price of doing these big, huge budget movies is actually a lot of it gets thrown out the window because the way the effects are doing now, they cost less and less. They're giving them the same amount of money, but that just means they waste a whole lot more money.
Right.
Doing it for a lower budget makes them have to pull the purse straps a little bit and tighten up some of where the money just flows out. I've worked on some of these good budget movies, and I see them just throwing money out the window for no reason, just because they have it.
They don't care about reshoots and stuff because they've got the money.
Yeah, right. Or they'll reshoot something 15 times even though they got it because they have the money to do it. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, let's just compare all of these.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff like little things like at Crafty, the little craft services table off to the side that's on set. Anything you want, period. If they don't have it, they'll have it the next day. I don't care where it's from or how to get it. They have it there. I mean, that's for me, that's a waste of money. It's like, I want this one specific nut from this one place in Brazil.
But, I mean, if you're looking at a company like Disney, I mean, they own a lot of the effects things anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they have – so they're not spending a lot of that money.
Right.
But it's still not stuff that people want to see on the small screen.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to be an evolution. It's going to be – I think they are still going to focus on making – more direct to streaming sort of stuff, but I don't think they're going to do it with the bigger things that people definitely want to see in theaters. And that applies across the board to all the various streaming companies, no matter who owns them.
Right.
You know, Netflix makes big movies now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at doing everything on their streaming service except for right now. Right.
Yeah, they put it in theaters.
They were looking last year before everything hit, Netflix was looking at buying theaters.
That's true.
So that's a whole different, I mean, for all we know, with with the one shutting itself down, Netflix may be buying some up. So
that's true. They might. You know?
Well, actually, talking about Netflix movies, have we ever heard? Are they still planning on doing a Hitman's Bodyguard 2? I thought they were already filming that.
Yes, it's filming. It has already been filming. It's the Hitman's wife's bodyguard.
Dude, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
because it's him dealing with Selma Hayek now.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that they've already been filming that. I don't know how much of a delay they had, or I think they started this midway this year though. Like they started post, like after COVID had already started the stuff.
Right.
So yeah, that is coming eventually, along with everything else. Eventually.
Yeah. So you said that was the end of your news for this week?
There was not a lot of news. There was
no.
A few big things, not a
well,
lot of
news. I did see there was something out of Hulu. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but didn't you watch the premiere of Hellstrom?
We have watched 4 episodes of that so far.
Oh, yes. did they drop the whole series?
Did, which I was surprised at, actually.
Hulu usually goes weekly.
Yeah, it usually does. It just came out on Friday, and when we watched the first episode, all of a sudden, the thing at the end was like next episode in whatever amount of seconds, and I'm like, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that works.
Your general preview, because I've not got a chance to see it yet. We've not seen it. We're going to watch it. Then we'll talk about it on the show probably. But what'd you think of it so far?
It's good in terms of, well, okay, first of all, it's better than Monsterland.
Hey, you're setting that bar real low.
I know, it's not saying much. It's good. It's probably better if you don't know much about the comic, because honestly, I've never read the comics. Kylan has come across a couple of the characters in other comics.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows a bit about them, but from what I've read, it really doesn't follow much about the comics at all, except for the basic premise of, and this is not a spoiler, the basic premise of basically this brother and sister who are the child of the devil is what we're saying, right?
Okay.
Right, that's what, and their mom was the human one, and their dad is the demon one. And they have some kind of paranormal powers.
Right.
The guy can, well, he can use his physically. He can push people around.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically goes around and does exorcisms, but not in a religious way. He can basically put his hands on people and pull it out.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Okay, that's interesting.
And the sister, they didn't really grow up together. The sister got kidnapped by the demon dad, who was a serial killer. He was basically possessed by this demon and ended up as a serial killer. And he took the daughter with him on all of these things.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get this in little bits and pieces. You see flashbacks to when she was a kid, and like she's sitting in a car, and in the background you see this guy dragging a body through the woods.
Yeah.
You know, as she's sitting in the car waiting for him to come back. And so you slowly find out more about them. Her power, I think, is similar to how she was supposed to be in the comics, where she could basically, she's a soul sucker. She can,
yeah,
like, suck the life out of someone.
Mm-hmm.
But she can also kind of tell things about them by touching them.
Right.
And, so there's similarities, very vague similarities between their characters in the show and in the comics. None of the stories is the same at all. This is basically a modern day kind of take. And if you go to the comics and you look up Damon Hellstrom, he's like bare chested with a pentacle on his chest and a cape and this trident kind of thing he's holding,
right,
and he's always doing this spell casting kind of stuff. He's a little bit like Doctor Strange, except less clothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And more oriented. And his sister, she was known as Satana in the comics. And she was definitely more of a soul sucker and usually went after men and killed them. She was kind of an anti-hero, which she is in the show.
Yeah.
She's not entirely likable, and she's definitely the more, I wouldn't say evil, but bad of the two. She cares
right.
less.
Right.
She doesn't care if she has to kill someone to get something.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the whole thing is like their mom is in a psych ward, a psych hospital, and she's possessed by something too. Like there's two different demon things going on. It's a little bit confusing at first, but so the whole, you know, you've got the whole creepy psych ward thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom talks in two different voices, depending on whether it's their actual mother coming through or if it's this demon mother. And she's got powers as well. And she's pretty powerful. And she, like, as she gets upset, you hear people in the ward screaming and getting upset. Like, she affects people around mm-hmm. her.
Yeah, like, in this world, the demons feed off of the misery of others.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they will do something to cause someone pain. And as that pain spreads or anger or whatever spreads, that's how they get their power.
It feeds them. Yeah.
Yeah, it feeds. Now, like in the comics, he's actually known as the son of Satan. But it seems like there is one point where he's trying to get a tattoo and his shirt is open, and you see this pentagram that's like
it's kind of burned in
burnt is like burned yeah. into him.
But he can't get the tattoo, right?
Yeah, he can't get the tattoo.
It's like his skin keeps healing as she's trying to tattoo him.
Huh. Right.
So it.
I've like, seen that done in other places before. It's kind of interesting when someone actually has a quick heal.
Yeah. It's like it's kind of like it's got a lot going on.
Right.
It's got some good creepiness, and the problem I have is like I can see why Marvel took its name off of it. Like aside, this isn't a spoiler either. There was one reference to Roxxon. That's like the only Marvel reference okay. you get is because
I was going to say, is this going to be connected to the larger Marvel universe at all?
Not going to be connected at all.
Okay.
There's no way. No. And honestly, I think because Marvel took its name off of it, I'd be surprised if it goes beyond one season.
True.
Because I mean, they don't have the oomph behind it. Like no. a lot yeah. of people, it's just being advertised as Hulu's Hellstrom. Mm.
Well, also it kind of popped up on Hulu. I mean, it had a little bit of fanfare, but it wasn't, what you normally yeah. get with a comic book show showing up. It's just like, I looked at, oh, wait, it's on there.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, a lot of people didn't know it just came out. They right. had no idea. In the beginning when they were talking about it, it was Marvel's Hellstrom.
Right.
By the time it got into production and they started, doing their press for it and stuff, it had dropped the Marvel. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to the whole Marvel TV universe on that side of things disappearing.
Yeah.
And focusing on the MCU TV universe.
Right.
So okay. I think they did not want to draw people into it thinking there'd be a connection and then being disappointed.
Yeah.
So
well, also,
it's been good as a horror show.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, quite honestly, it's got a little bit of cheesiness. It'll probably be forgettable, quite honestly, but it's decent entertainment for the episodes we've watched.
It's still better than the Inhumans, I'll tell yeah. you that.
Well, the dropping it all at one time also could be a part of knowing that it's not what they wanted. Exactly.
Right. right.
Because if it was something they wanted to push, you'd want to go weekly so that every week you could push, watch the next week's episode. Watch the next week's episode.
Well, you know, the thing is, the original idea, so you're going to have this, and then there was going to be Ghost Rider. What was the other show? There was another show that
Moon Knight. Moon Knight, I think, was the third one.
No, they're still doing Moon Knight.
They're still doing Moon Knight, but it's going to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, because Disney Plus is doing that along with She-Hulk and stuff.
But there's going to be the three of them. It's sort of going to be a Midnight Suns type of thing. But once they moved Moon Knight over to Disney Plus, and then they dropped Ghost Rider, and it must have been that this show was already in production.
Yeah, they had enough invested in it, and they probably figured they could do it standalone because people don't know the characters,
right?
And don't know the name. Whereas if you come out with a show called Ghost Rider, even if you just watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know that one,
right?
So there's a lot of expectation with it and a lot more connection you're expecting.
So I'm enjoying it.
After the first episode we watched, I told Kylan that it reminded me, and I don't know if a lot of our listeners remember this one, but it reminded me of the show Poltergeist: The Legacy.
Yes.
Like it had nothing to do with the Poltergeist movies,
mm-hmm.
but it had this like kind of like a family drama, and people were connected to the spirits, and there was possession, and I don't know. It just kind of reminded like I used
does
to
it
love
have
that
an show. Does it have an anthology feel? Because if I remember right, Poltergeist: The Legacy connected together, but it was more of an anthology style show.
No, Poltergeist: The Legacy was an anthology.
No, okay. it was
Friday the 13th, the series was more anthology. Yeah. through the antique shop.
Right.
No, Poltergeist the Legacy had the whole family thing going on. It had the priest, and they were in Ireland half the time. And
oh.
I don't know. It just kind of had a little more of that feel to me. But no, this is definitely a completely connected TV show.
Right.
Each one leads. And actually, we've been watching like one or two episodes at a time, and I think it's pretty bingeable. Like, it's not something you have to think deeply about.
No.
You could probably just watch the whole thing all at once.
It's no Lovecraft?
Yeah, it's not Lovecraft.
Yeah. I told Dawn, I said, if you look at Supernatural being the 70s cop show of paranormal, of a paranormal series, this is almost like the police procedural. Just based on the way
there's a lot of there's a lot of investigation and a lot of, you know, what's going on and who's doing what, and it's I don't know, it's been good.
It's good. Like, I'm glad I'm watching it,
and it's the perfect time of year for it. I'm glad they did decide to drop it in October. It's just the perfect time for it.
I won't be heartbroken if there's no season
two. Right, exactly.
Well, you never know. You've not seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah, there might be some cliffhanger at the end of season one because they don't know if there's a season two or not, and then we'll be like, damn it!
And that's true too. And the funny thing is that
because quite honestly, I've looked up Hellstrom a couple times already just to find out about certain characters. Yeah. And when I was checking the comic references, there's already postings about explaining the ending of season one, and I'm like, damn it, that means something's happening.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that Marvel has re-released two Hellstrom collections in recent month or so. So for people who like the darker side of Marvel when it comes to the paranormal stuff.
Well, if you like the horror comics.
Yeah, the horror comics. So it's sort of like, you know, you have Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is mysticism. And he kind of dabbles into the dark, but not like these. Not like these.
Well, there's
people,
demons and killing and blood and all kinds of
stuff.
Yeah. Hellstrom has a lot of blood in it. A
lot of blood.
So you're saying Hellstrom would fit a lot better with Constantine than he would with Doctor Strange?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's a crossover we need.
Yes. We need a John Constantine everywhere. That's. I still wish if I was the what could have been, because if you watch. Swamp Thing is on the CW right now. That season one that got canceled. It's like, if you watch that show and you think of what could have been, if we had got a second season, we would be able to bring in characters like Constantine or Zatanna or some of these other magical side of the characters. It could have been amazing.
Without any kind of confirmation, there's been a lot of talk about how well Swamp Thing is doing being on CW.
Yeah.
That brings up a possibility for another season. And if you think about how, you know, Supergirl was saved and stuff like that, I mean, it is a possibility.
And they're going to have some space because Supergirl has already announced this is their final season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Supernatural's done, so.
Uh-huh. They need a Supernatural show. They've been how many years have we seen them try to do backdoor pilots and all these other things to try to get something that they knew would eventually take Supernatural's spot? Swamp Thing would be perfect for that because, one, you've got the superhero fans already on the network. And, two, it fits – if you watch Swamp Thing, it fits right in with the Supernatural bent with a little bit more of the comic book side to it. That's all.
And really, Constantine has been one of the most popular characters. When he had his own series, everyone got disappointed when it got canceled.
Yeah.
And then when he showed up on Legends, everyone was thrilled.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so it's not like superhero fans – don't want paranormal stuff.
Right.
You know, you've got your built-in audience right there. And
you do.
It would be interesting to see that happen.
Yeah.
You know what? I would like to see Zatanna, but I would like to see a well-done Zatanna, though.
We've already seen her on screen before, and the one on Smallville wasn't bad, but it was part of Smallville.
Right.
Yeah.
And Smallville is not – towards the end, Smallville was an excellent show the last couple seasons when it actually became a superhero show.
Yeah, when they finally dropped their, no tights, no flights thing.
Yeah.
When they were finally like, okay, we're going to embrace it.
New producers.
Yeah, when they had like all the characters suddenly showing up and you're like, damn it, where have they been all this time?
I'm in the middle of watching season 8 and I just saw the Legion. It's like, yes, the Legion. I forgot the Legion was in here.
Yes. Right. I mean, give me a series with Dr. Fate, Zatanna,
and Constantine.
What you want is a Justice League Dark series. That's basically all we need.
Yeah. That is what I want. Yeah.
Dude, Stargirl, the Helmet of Fate was sitting in the Justice Society headquarters. The Helmet of Fate was sitting there in Stargirl.
It's shown up on a few shows.
Yeah.
Well,
never done anything with it.
Once again, back to Smallville. Is it season 9 or season 10 that Chloe ends up having to put on the Helmet of Fate?
There you go.
It becomes Dr. Fate for a couple of episodes.
Yep.
Oh. So, DC has...
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with all that. We have anything else before we wrap this up today?
Just make sure, let everyone know, next week we are going to talk about Lovecraft Country because, by the time you listen to this, we will have had the season finale, and we'll have a lot to think about, I'm sure, because there's been some very surprising developments even over the past couple episodes.
Yeah.
And the way they've somehow been able to tie all of this together. And
I was kind of surprised we got true actual time travel.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the multiverse travel that Hippolyta did, that was an amazing episode anyway.
Right.
You got a whole Afrofuturism thing going on. They kind of hit it out of the park with that one.
Yeah.
And then actually saying, you know, it's not just that, but she could take people back to a specific time and place. Like, just showing an intelligent black woman on a show like this was an amazing feat, okay?
Yes. I love the part. I'm just going to say this a little bit, and I won't, because I could just go. The part where she's talking to her, she's talking to her husband, and she's just, and the look on his face, like, I can't. Like,
and then I did this, and then this is because of this equation, and we went around and we did this, and he's just sitting there going, okay.
I'm just like, he's like,
but I write a guidebook. Like, that's his own.
Yeah, he's a writer.
he has his own thing. Like, he's obviously an intelligent man, and he's well read.
Right.
But I'll tell you, because I don't math. Okay. You know what? History. I'm much like his character. History.
Books, reading, books, writing.
Philosophy, I'm your guy. You know what? You start talking math, and I'm just like, oh, okay. I trust you. I defer to your expertise in this area. Exactly. So, yeah.
But, yeah, so considering everything that's gone on the past few episodes and how they've been able to bring everything back into the family and back together to the main characters we know, there's still going to be unanswered questions, and hopefully we're getting another season out of this. I don't know, but
we will.
But
for the finale, there's going to be so much to unpack, I think, because the little surprises along the way, like, I'm not even going to say it in case people didn't watch the last couple episodes, but the time travel one where we find out how significant Atticus was in someone's life early on.
Mm-hmm.
That little moment was like, oh my God, holy crap, it is all connected.
Yeah.
Back to the first episode. Anyway.
It's all connected the way Marvel wishes they could be.
Right?
I'm staying up late for this one. Yeah,
usually we watch it, like when I've been watching it, I'll watch it a day or two later. Now that Kylan's all caught up and the finale's coming, he's like, yeah, I'm just staying up late tonight.
Yeah, I just...
the best part about this...
I'll be honest with you, from people who are in my circle who have been watching this and, like, we're friends on social media and that sort of thing, people are eating this show up.
Yep.
Like, they cannot get... And these are people of color who have... This is the kind of story that they've been looking for. Mm. Okay, and I'm going to shut up because I'm going to save this for next week.
My favorite part of this so far is how long did it take for Kylan to finally decide, okay, I'll try this out maybe. Because he wasn't sure he wanted to do it at all.
Because Kylan is not a horror guy. And
I'm not.
Just the basic premise of the show and the fact that it's called Lovecraft Country, it's not really his thing. So I had to work him into it and prepare him for this and... You know, there are some parts of certain episodes he's not a fan of, but
but
overall, he's realized that It's got good behind it.
I'm gonna go back and watch. Because you know what, I would put this, even though this is based on a story, I guess that would be considered modern literature.
Mm-hmm. It's based on a novel. Yep.
This is new pulp.
It is pulp. I mean, the whole thing is pulp.
The whole thing is pulp. Like honestly, I would tell people to, if you want to describe this, is how I would describe it. I'm gonna shut up now because I could just.
Save it for next week. I'll keep the news short next week, yeah. And we can have a whole bunch of time to talk.
Yeah. So, and I'm gonna tell all my friends that we're talking about this next week. So, yeah. So,
okay.
There you go.
You're gonna have a bunch of people that are gonna say, "Hey, can I come on the show too?"
Right. Exactly. we'll be doing a Zoom call with like 20 boxes open.
Yeah. So, but Geeksters, I'm gonna cut him off here so he doesn't keep going.
Yes.
So,
yes,
Geeksters, watch Lovecraft Country. Even if you've not seen any of it, watch all of it this week. If you have to, binge it. You may end up warping your mind by doing this, but watch it all. That way you can follow along with us next week as we dissect the whole thing. And it is deep, as we've said before, it is deep on multiple different levels.
Yes.
Yep.
So we'll check that out. Then let us know what you thought about it for next week. Send us in your thoughts and ideas so we can talk about it and add it to our discussion next week. You can always get a hold of us at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media is GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar and don't find us, let us know. Ms. Dawn will take care of the problem.
You don't want to visit from my demons.
That's right. You also can email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Weeby Geeks and Podcast Collective at WeebyGeeksPC.com and the Tangentbound Network at TangentboundNetwork.com. Also, go check out our friends Charlie Murphy at Stray Dog Akron Cafe 338 and our friends over at the Pop Insider and the Toy Insider. Remember, your Pop Insider and Toy Insider are your up-to-minute, minute-by-minute, day-by-day news of all things pop culture and toys. Check them out at thepopinsider.com and thetoyinsider.com. Other than that, for Dawn and Kylan and myself, just remember,
never stop, never stopping.
No matter where you go, there you are.